made it through another day's journey. God brought me here. Whew. Hallelujah.
We don't get this kind of technology in Scotland. Hallelujah. Everybody ought to have a testimony song. And if you don't mind, I just need to share my testimony song. You don't know my story. See, which when you look at me, you see me clothed in all this religious garb. I was about to say garbage. But underneath of this religious garb is some more garbage. See, you don't know my story. If you knew my story, it would blow your mind. If you knew what I went through to get here, or what God had to do to get me here, it would blow your mind. You don't know my story. You don't know my ups and my downs. You don't know where I've been, places I shouldn't have been. Woo, hallelujah. But God, in his grace and his mercy, he kept me. See, I have some familiar faces in here that I know, and they know a little bit about my past, about my history. But see, just in case you don't know, I can't share all my testimony, but God has brought me from a mighty long way. He took me from the streets, peddling and pushing to the pulpit to preaching. And he gave me this mandate. He said, preacher, he said, I'm not going to allow you to sit in a comfortable pulpit. I bless you, sir, for having that opportunity to be in the pulpit. It's a nice pulpit. But he said, the same way that you was in the streets peddling, he said, I'm going to have you out in the streets peddling and pushing my gospel. So I am an evangelist by heart. You know, God, that's my call to ministry. See, I'm just excited to be here because when I first pulled up in the parking lot, I felt at home because I saw some familiar faces. But then after I got into church and I started hearing all the mission work that the church was involved in, and I was like, Lord, this is home away from home. Y'all got any openings? Yeah. I'm looking for a church. Y'all got any openings? But I am an evangelist by heart. I'm an evangelist by call. I have been anointed and appointed to evangelize. And I applaud the pastor for encouraging the congregation to get involved in evangelism. Because the gospel, we live in a lost and dying world, and the gospel needs to be preached. Everybody needs to know about Jesus. We don't need to keep it to ourselves. We need to go outside of these four. One, two, three, four. Yeah, I actually got five walls. We need to get outside and spread this good news of the gospel that we hold so near and dear to our hearts. So let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let me do the formalities. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen one more time for the Holy Ghost. I first just give honor to God who in whom I live, I move, and I have my very existence, my being, my breath, the blood that flows through my body, every ligament, every joint, every bone, everything that's working in my body for a sound mind, for the activity of my limbs, I give honor to God. What about you? Hallelujah. Once again, thank you, Pastor, for opening your pulpit to me. Not worthy of the pulpit, but I thank God that he ordained and he appointed this time. To my colleagues in the ministry, I greet you in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, who is the Christ. My brothers and sisters who are saved, safe, sanctified, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, I greet you in the mighty and marvelous name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Whew. See, as Methodists, the pastor knows as well, we got to go through a protocol. And it will take the breath away from you. But it's worth doing. Thank my brother for the invitation. My brother Andre, Bud, God bless you, sir. And I would be amiss if I went without acknowledging probably one of the oldest persons that I know in this sanctuary and in my life at this moment in time. And he probably doesn't even remember me. But he, if I start to prick his memory, he'll probably start to remember that he used to chase me around the school with a ruler trying to get me back in class. And Tyrone is broke away again. But Mr. Butler. I had to ask Minister Newman, I said, is one of the choir members named Mr. Butler? And he was like, yeah, because I used to see him jogging a lot, but he, I don't think he jogs anymore. You still jog, Mr. Butler? Okay, amen, amen, amen. But my co-conspirator in crime in elementary school is my sister right there. You probably remember her, Lisa. Yeah, she used to give you a, that's probably why some of your hair is gone today, but amen to that. And also my wife, who always seems to pass the mic to somebody else. I guess two people in the family can't hold the mic. She said, your mic sound nice, so I'll just keep on passing it. So that is my wife, my paraclete, my partner in crime and in ministry. She is, God said that for this reason, a man leaves his and cleaves to his, and that's, I left my mother in high school. She is my high school sweetheart, and I cleave to her. And we've been blessed with two sons and six grandkids, and, you know, we getting ready to celebrate 31 years of marriage. Who would have thought? I know some of those people who know me, Teddy. Who would have thought, right? 31 years of marriage. Who would have thought? But to God be the glory. Hallelujah. You know, God is not going to keep me long, I pray. And I told the choir, if you sing well, I will preach well, and we will be out of here. Amen. So y'all pray for me. Amen? Amen. Thank you all. Thank brother. What's the brother's name that read the scripture today? Thank you, Brother Lionel, for reading the scripture for us this morning. I would just like to draw your attention to Galatians, the second chapter, and I'll be reading just one verse. Somebody say just one verse, because those verses this morning was pretty long, right? And it simply says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let us pray. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Tune our hearts to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for loudest songs of praise. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy right redeeming love. Lord, hide me behind thy cross. Let your people see more of you and less of me. Let your people experience you, Lord God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my strength and my redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. If I can just hold your attention for a little while. Initially, I didn't see that clock up there. I was, you know, it's a bad thing to have a clock in the sanctuary. But see, I don't need a clock at the church where I come from, because they have a tendency to pull on your robe when you've been preaching too long. But the word of God says that I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. And if I could just ask you to just pinpoint this theme or this topic in your mind, undercover brother. Undercover brother. I applaud the men of this church. Oh, by the way, happy Father's Day and happy Men's Day to all the fathers in the church. I adopted this from my bishop. He always,
whenever we get the opportunity to sing a hymn, he said, I'm so glad there are hymns in the church. And he started pointing to the hymns, him, all the hymns in the church. I greet you in the mighty name of Jesus. But it's vital to the life of the church, and it's so significant to ministry when men show up and when men dwell together in unity, when men are on one accord. Amen. See, we got a bad rap in the world, but I just know that God has a love affair with men. Not that he doesn't have that affair with women, but today is Men's Day, and we want to applaud the men for your theme. I thank you for being committed to grow in Christ so that others may know Christ. But see, we can't just stop there, brothers. We can't just be committed to our own personal development and then have a wish and a whim and a hope that others will know Christ because you're knowing Christ. We also have to show Christ. We also have to get out there and make Christ visible. Yes. We got to make the life and the light of Christ. That's what the word of God says. Yeah. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we need to not only grow in Christ and so that others may know Christ, but we got to take it to another level and we have to show Christ. Amen. Show Christ. As a child, I was so fascinated with superheroes. You know, we didn't have many superheroes back in the day. You know, they got all kinds of superheroes now. The Marvel Comics has elevated their game. You know, they got Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3. They got all these Marvel superheroes. But back in my day, when I was growing up, when we still had black and white TV, come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. I see some of y'all here that got a little silver and little salt and pepper in your hair. You know what I'm talking about. When we only had, you know, black and white. But one of my favorite superheroes was Superman. And it was so ironic that one of my friends sent me a text today or a message, and it had Super Dad, but it had the emblem, and it just brought back some memory. But it also did some confirmation for me that God wanted me to talk about this. So just bear with me. You know, let God work through me through this sermon, and I hope that someone will be blessed. Amen. But Superman was my favorite because, you know, I love the song. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Superman was my favorite. Woo, hallelujah. You know, hallelujah. All right, see, I'm going back there. But the thing that really, you know, made Superman so the show so enticing was, you know, Clark Kent and Superman had none of the same qualities at all. You know, and all the people that may have been trying to, you know, the detectives that may have been trying to find out who Superman was, who his undercover identity was, you know, they wouldn't have ever been able to come up with Clark Kent. Clark Kent was clumsy. Clark Kent was a nerd. He was a bit of an airhead. You know, he would trip over his own feet at times. And then you have Superman that was faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. So there was no way that the identity of Clark Kent could have been mixed up with the identity of Superman. Y'all hold on, it's coming. You'll get it in a minute. But as a child, you know, that was just... superheroes was just near and dear to my heart. And how many of y'all know that you got to be careful with the things that you hold near and dear to your heart because you know that thing called genetics? Yeah. You know that thing they call genes? See, sometimes them genes will transfer to your kids and your grandkids. It skipped my kids, but it got to one of my grandkids. And my grandson, whew, he has every Marvel, every superhero comic book out, I mean comic, a superhero outfit and gadgets. Oh, he has them all. You know, he has Superman. And, you know, one day I called him, he was standing on the ledge of the deck with his cape on. One day I saw him, he was out, he had his Incredible Hulk outfit on, and he was trying to pick up my car. One day I came in the house and he said, Granddad, you can't see me, can you? He was supposed to be invisible man. And I said, I was about to say, boy, you standing right here, but I had to play the game with him. And I said, you know what? I can't see you, but I can hear you, and I'm going to find you, grandson. But anyway, he takes it. I mean, he loves superheroes more than I love superheroes. So I had to have a sit down with my grandson because I had to let him know that the superheroes were fictitious characters, that they weren't real. And he argued back and forth with me. They is two. I said, no, they not. They is two. No, they not. They is two. And then he got to say, they is two realer. And I said, okay. I said, okay. That word you, I said, we're going to stop this conversation right now. Mr. Butler, you'll appreciate that. Because realer, and I'm going to show you, I pulled out my phone, realer does not exist in the Bible. I mean, in Webster's Dictionary. And I said, just like realer doesn't exist, Superman doesn't exist, Batman doesn't exist, the Incredible Hulk doesn't exist, the Invisible Man, Iron Man, all these supermen that you are so caught up in and gravitate toward, they don't exist. I said, but I'm going to keep talking to you because there is one Superman that I'm going to continue to tell you about, and he'll never fail you. He'll never cause you to live outside of reality because he is the realer one. He's the realest one. He is reality. Whew, hallelujah. His name is Jesus. He's my Superman. Is he your Superman? Whew, hallelujah. 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 Undercover brothers. I'm going to start my sermon now. Oh, by the way, that seat right there that you got, Pastor.
Yes, sir. Whew,
hallelujah. See, that seat won't let you stay in your seat because it got springs in it. So it was meant for church, because when I was sitting in there and I started moving, it started moving with me and it was pushing me out of my seat. I was like, hold on, Lord. I said, I don't want to get up yet. I ain't trying to get sweaty yet. And the seat was bouncing. I was bouncing. I was like, hold on. And then when I saw the pastor coming, I was like, okay, he's a big man. He's bigger than me, so he probably needs some help getting up out of that seat. So, and I'm not talking to you because you, hold on, Pastor. Let me clean it up. Hold on. Yeah, you're not. Hold on. You're a giant. You're spiritually big, sir. You got all the. You got all your weight is in your spirit, man, sir. So when you catch the Holy Ghost because of your spiritual weight,
praise the Lord,
the seat need to lift you up.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Undercover brothers. We are not brothers who cover up their true self in order to deceive or falsely portray something that we are not, or to gain an advantage, but rather have acknowledged that I have fallen short, that I'm like Clark Kent, I'm clumsy. You know, I trip over my feet, I mess up. You know, I'm weak in areas. But there is, thank God, the real Superman that I can put on, his name, Jesus. I heard the songwriter say, a wonderful change has come over me. See, when Clark Kent put on Superman, I bet you he didn't know that song back then, but if he had that song, he probably would sing that song. A wonderful change has come over me. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who has covered me, and Christ has picked me up, and Christ has lifted me. In this world, there are too many folk that are suffering from an identity crisis. See, let me break this thing down to you. They are busy trying to figure out who they are. But I just came by Emory Grove United Methodist Church to tell someone, some brother, some sister, you need to stop working so hard and stop searching for who you are, because you're probably not going to like who you are when you find yourself. But rather find out whose you are. That's the identity crisis that exists in the world today, that people want to know too much about who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to do it? If you stop worrying about all that and concentrate and focus on whose you are, everything else would fall in place. The Apostle Paul discovered who he was in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, the 8th verse. He says, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Anybody lost anything? And I do count them as dung that I may, guess what? That I may win Christ, that I may be clothed with Christ, that I may put on Christ, that I may be under the cover of Christ. Romans, the 7th chapter, verse 18 says, for I know that in me, just in case there's somebody out there who think that they good, think that they done good, or they worthy of where they are and you know where Christ has brought you, just in case, this is for you. For I know it's, I'm not talking to anybody in this church, but it says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And then in verse 24 to 25, Paul concludes with a question. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? And then he says, he gives us the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, who you are is really irrelevant right now because you and I, we lost our identity in the garden. We were created in the image of God, in his good image. We were created to be like God. You know, we were created to express God's glory and God's majesty and God's attributes in the earth. But, hallelujah, but something happened in that garden. There was a serpent that came in, and that serpent was able to strip us of our identity. We were created in the image of God, but we no longer express the image of God when we disobey God. Now, I'm going to say this quietly. And don't nobody tell Marvin. That is Marvin Sapp. But he wrote a song, and it's called He Saw the Best in Me. See, that's contrary to what the scripture says. Because he didn't see the best in us. He saw the desperation in us. He saw the disparity in us. He saw the dilemma in us. He saw the destruction in us. See, before when we had that perfect harmony and that unity with God, God, he did see the best in us. But after all of that that took place in the garden, he saw the 4 D's in us. So don't nobody tell Marvin. You know, don't nobody tell him because I know him. No, I'm just playing. He said that boy was talking about me again in church. But when God looked at us and what he saw was not the best enough, but because of who God is, because God is compassionate, because his heart is so big, because he loves us so much, because he wanted to reunite and restore us, because of God, because of who he is. That's why the word of God says that we didn't love God first. It was God who loved us first. So when God looked at us and saw how desperate we were and how the dilemma that we were in and the destruction that we were in, God said, you know what? Because guess what we tried to do? We tried to hide from God. Come on now. I know I got a witness in here. Somebody said, I've been running from God for a mighty long time. I was running from God, and God was still hot and heavy on my track. I could feel God breathing down my back, but I kept on running. I kept on running. I kept on hiding. See, that I know that's my testimony. Even when I didn't know what a testimony was, when I found out, though, when I got saved and I found out what a testimony, I'm like, this is my testimony. I was running from God. I was like Jonah. Whew, hallelujah. But we got some Jonas in the house today. But God said, you know, I cannot let them, you know, fall away. So he took because, you know, we try to use fig leaves. You know, Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together to try to cover themselves up. Y'all may not use, come on, y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Y'all may not try to use fig leaves and tie them up to cover yourself up. But I know that you got some things that you're trying to cover your true identity, who you are. I know you don't, sometimes when you look in the, well, most of the time, it should be all the time, when you look in the mirror and apart from Christ anyway, apart from the covering of Christ, when you get up and you look at yourself and you in the mirror, you should be like Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me from this body of death? And he said, thank be to God through Christ Jesus. See, when you look at yourself and then the things that you know that what you've done is too big to cover up with fig leaves. It's too big to cover up with your bank account. It's too big to cover up with your fame. It's too big to cover up with your position. It's too big for you to try to cover up. Whew, but hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I agree, he did look beyond my fault and he saw my need. He knew that the Lord, can you imagine, cause I'm pretty big. Can you imagine a fig tree, a fig leaf, and me trying to cover up everything about what, and it just does not work. He said, you just too big, son. What you've done is you've done too much. So God made provisions for himself. God made provisions for us himself. Yeah, somebody should be shouting right now. Because see, that was the, out of the mind of God, that's the beginning of salvation. That's the beginning of, even though God kicked us out of the garden at that point, but he already had in mind, in his mind, in his wisdom, he already had in mind that the salvation was going to come. And he already had in mind that, guess what? Same way you, in this day that you ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that on this day that you eat it, you shall surely die. Yeah. That means that we died a spiritual death. That means that we were separated from God, that we got expelled from the garden. That means we no longer had access to everything else in the garden that God provided for us. We had to go. And God said, I'm going to make sure that you don't come back. This way, anyway. Somebody say it this way. I can't go back. This way, anyway. But God, in his divine, in his mind, in his will, he had another way that was coming down the pike. Somebody said it was 2,000 years ago. Come on, I'm not going to go there yet, but he had another way in mind. Not this way, because he put the cherubim with swords in front of the Garden of Eden. He said, you can't come back. But God said, you know what? I loved him so much. Man, we try to reject love sometimes. Or we don't know how to respond to love sometimes. That's why we run so much. We don't just run from God. We run from our relationships. We run from our children. You know, we got to stop running. Turn to your brother and tell him, stop running. Stop running. Let God. Let God catch up, even though, guess what? You can't run faster than God, but he wants you to run until you get tired. Because if he really wanted to, he could snatch you up. Some of us, he have to snatch up. Yeah. I was faster. I was one of those ones that he had to grab. God said, you're going to stop being a shepherd for the devil. Said, I called you for greater things. Come on. I'm talking to somebody out there. Not just me. I called you for greater things. I called you for better things. I called you to make an impact in this world. I called you to go and tell somebody about the saving hope and the salvation that's available through Jesus Christ. He didn't create me for this nonsense. He didn't create me to be hiding in people's closets while the police riding around the community. He didn't create me to be jumping out of people's windows because I'm in the crack house. He didn't create me for that. He didn't create me to be walking around with pounds and pounds of crack cocaine and money in one pocket. He didn't create me for that weight. He said, son, you already got enough weight on you. The weight of sin is already in you. He didn't create me for that. So he had to snatch me up. Yes, sir. See, sometimes, you know, God, I hope that he uses you for this purpose. Because when God snatched me, he almost choked me when he snatched me. Yeah. Yeah. But see, he ordained us, brothers and sisters. He ordained us to reach out now and grab those that are in the fire. You know, that's why we can't keep it to ourselves. He said, go, you got to grab somebody. Yes, take hold of somebody's hand and pull them out. Yeah. And he said, guess what? When you pull them out, he said, they may look like that they were in a fire. They may look like they were about to be burnt up. He said, but when I clean them up, yes, somebody said, I'm clean. Yes. Somebody said, I got a new walk. Uh-huh. I got a new talk. Somebody say, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. He said, they won't look like they've been through the fire. So they won't look like that the flood tried to overtake them. Said their clothes may be burned up, but you won't even be able to smell it. Come on, y'all. This business is serious. Evangelism is serious. And I applaud you once again for your commitment to grow in Christ and your commitment to that others may know, your prayers that others may know Christ. But I gotta push you onward. I gotta push you to the next step and say, you know, show Christ. Show Christ in this world. Show Christ in this world. Show it in people's hearts so that people may know that there is a way. See, when I put on the Lord Jesus, all my sin is covered. Who I was and what I did is covered by the blood. I am crucified with Christ. So it's no longer I who live. I'm talking about undercover. I'm talking about the identity that we had, that we were left with. Somebody say, I got it from my mama. Or actually, you got it from your mama and your daddy. Yeah, yeah. Because when they sinned against God, guess what? We inherited everything that they did. Amen. So I don't care how good you are. I don't care if you give all your paycheck away. I don't care if you go out there and you feed the hungry and you clothe the homeless. It doesn't matter, because guess what? Unless you realize that I am naked and ashamed without the covering of Christ, you're going to still need Christ. See, all these people out here that live in Potomac and all, you know, I'm not going to stereotype people like they do us. But all the people who think that their money is good enough, is big enough, their education is going to help them. All those people that think they need the gospel, they need you to tell them that you are naked and ashamed. You need the covering of Jesus Christ over your life. It's important. I know it's hard for us to accept the fact that I have to die. Anybody ever die before? I say that because I watched this movie, Flatliners. See, you got to stop watching. People got to stop watching movies because you end up getting it all in your sermon and everything. Like, But on a serious note, have anybody ever died before? Because in Flatliners, they died and then they came back. But I don't think anybody in here ever died. But we have died. We died twice, as a matter of fact. We died when God said that you will surely die when you eat of this fruit. And then we had to die again to ourselves, to our sin nature. See, but it's okay. It's okay because do you know that, and I didn't know this until, what's the boy's name, the tight end for New England, until he had committed suicide, Hernandez, the one that committed all those murders, and they caught him and then he put him in jail. And Aaron Hernandez. I didn't know this. And I've been on this earth for 50 years. And when you die, you get a pardon for all the crimes that you have committed. Y'all don't hear me though, because somebody should be shouting right now. See, when you die to yourself, when you die so that you may live in Christ, you get a pardon from everything that you have ever done. All your sins, he said that I'll cast them as far as the east is from the west. He said I'll cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. See, everything that you ever done, hallelujah, everything that you ever did wrong in your life, he said, I'll cover you. He said, my blood. How many people know the blood still works? How many people know that the blood still has power? How many know that the blood, it still reaches the highest mountain and it still flows through the lowest valley? How many know that it's the blood that gives us strength from day to day? It will never lose its power. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus, for your shed blood. Me and my wife, we was in worship on the way to church this morning. And it says, here I am to worship. And it says, in a part of the song, it says, I never know how much it costs to see my sins upon the cross. See, some of y'all better start looking at the cost of your sins. Then you'll learn to love him. You'll learn to appreciate him more. Hallelujah. The life that I live now is under the cover of the Son of God. It's no longer I who live. It's my Savior. See, when people start coming to me and say, I remember you. I remember when I saw you running from the police. I saw you doing this. I saw you doing that. I remember that. And I tell them, you got the wrong man, baby. Said, because guess what? I'm covered by the blood. Said, I don't even know how you recognize me. Because I died with Christ. And now it's only Christ who shines. Somebody, in the song that say, shine, shine, shine. Somebody just say, shine. I'm a shine for Jesus. Yeah. Shine, shine, shine. So I'm coming. I'm winding this thing down. I just want to, I'm going to talk to the, I wish all the men was over here so I could just, but praise God. Stay committed. Stay committed to growing. Go deep. See, I learned all this in my life of crime. Go deep undercover. Woo, hallelujah. Y'all ever seen the movie Deep Undercover? The agent, the FBI agent, he got so deep undercover that they didn't even recognize him anymore. He was the person, all they knew, all they saw was the person who the identity of the one who was covering up who his identity was. See, somebody need to go deep undercover with Christ so they'll no longer see your identity, but they'll see the identity of Christ. You, because you undercover, brother. Tell them, I'm undercover. I'm undercover. That's what the devil's going to do. He's going to try to blow your cover. But you stay undercover and tell him, not today. You got the wrong man. Don't worry. Don't fret. Because there's nothing that can penetrate the blood. There's nothing that can break through the blood. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Not death, not life, not weapons, not this, not that. Nothing that the Bible talks about. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So stay committed. Stay committed to your personal growth, meaning get deep undercover. Stay an undercover brother. And always pray for that others may know Christ, you know, through your testimony, through your witness. But you got to show Christ. Show Christ in the community. Be out here, is it next week or the week after, when the kids are coming, be out here and let them see the Christ in you.
Yes, sir.
Don't be missing in action in the church also. They already accuse us of being missing in action in the world. So now don't be MIA in the church also. We need our fathers. We need hymns in the church. Hymns. So I salute you on this Father's Day, Men's Day, that you have made a commitment to grow in Christ so that others may know Christ. And I'm glad that God allowed me to come by here today just to encourage you to keep on keeping on and to show Christ to everybody that you know. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.